Welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is more tales to give you goosebumps, read to my girlfriend Connie. This is a story called Strained Peas. This is the format I like. I think the last one turned out all right. Yeah, you want to say hi?
Hi.
Nice work. This one... last time I didn't do a proper intro because I didn't, I just thought I would put one on later. Because magically I think that future me is going to do work. When we both know that ain't true.
Oh my God.
So this is the intro. These two are dedicated to Lucas and Brett on their road trip. See that?
Yeah.
That's nice, huh?
Yeah, that happened.
Brett and Lucas on a great adventure. Heading out east towards the end of December. Creating some memories they're sure to remember. Cause it's Lucas and Brett's excellent adventure. You like that?
Mm-hmm.
That is the jam. This one's called Strained Peas.
Uh-oh.
P-E-A-S. It's not strained urine, Conchetta. Strained peers with Lucas and Brett. Heading to New York. All right, sorry. My life changed forever. I need to see if that's recording, because I'm going to kill myself if not. Boop. Yeah, it seems to be. I need to edit that horrible sound out. My life changed forever the day my mom brought the new baby home from the hospital. My little sister is no ordinary baby. She is covered in hair from head to toe and looks like some sort of Hispanic werewolf. I made that up. It just says, if only she were. I sat on the front steps with Miss Morgan waiting for mom and dad to bring the baby home. Miss Morgan had stayed with me and dad while mom was at the hospital. What kind of fucking dad is that? They have a babysitter, and he's like, oh, no, the playoffs are going on, honey. You have the baby without me. I'll catch up.
I'm gonna go smoke a cigar.
Yeah.
With the boys.
I thought about the new baby, Hannah, a little sister. Yuck, fuck that noise. I sighed and tapped a stick against the brick steps. Stop fidgeting, Nicholas. Mrs. Morgan scolded. Why don't you read your comic book until your parents get home? I opened my Iron Man comic book and picked up where I'd left off. It said Iron Man in italics.
I know.
The only individual Iron Man comic I have is the one, the Demon in the Bottle one, where he's all drunk and he's too drunk to perform.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never gotten into solo Iron Man. I've read... hundreds and hundreds of issues of Avengers, but yeah, I can't root for a one percenter. I'm an American. Iron Man has cornered a bad guy disguised as a kindly doctor. Unmask yourself, says Iron Man. Iron Man rips off the mask off the doctor. He rips off the doctor's mask that's on his head and shit, revealing the hideous face of a mad scientist. Iron Man gasps. The mark of evil, he cries. Dr. Destro! Iron Man has never seen Dr. Destro before, but he recognized the bad guy by the birthmark on his face. The mark of evil. I heard a car coming and glanced up. Dad's dark green Volvo chugged down the street and pulled into our driveway. Mom sat in the passenger seat waving to me and smiling brightly. Who was driving then? Probably the real father of the baby. Just coincidentally, like, the young black kid that cleans the pool is driving her to deliver the baby that's surprisingly dark. Miss Morgan gave me a little shove. Go on, she said. Go meet your new sister. Ugh, I thought. I was glad to see Mom, though. I dragged myself over to the car. Dad opened the car door. Mom stepped out, carrying a little bundle in her arms. She bent down and said, look, Nicholas, isn't she adorable? I looked at the crumbled red face of my mother's arms. A thin fuzz of dark hair covered her head. She had blue eyes and tiny, wet red lips. No teeth. What an idiot. She must have been a meth addict. She waved a wrinkled fist in the air, then stuffed it into her mouth. I didn't think she was so adorable. I thought she was kinda ugly. But then I nearly choked. On Hannah's cheek was a tiny, brown, heart-shaped birthmark. I pointed to the birthmark and gasped, "The mark of evil! Just like Dr. Destro!" "Cut it out, Nicholas," Dad said sternly, doing his best Uncle Joey impersonation. "This is no time for your crazy comic book talk." He turned his back on me to gawk at Hannah. "She's perfect," Dad said, as if he was the kind of dad to be there at the actual delivery and not just stay at home the whole time, giving Mom's shoulder a squeeze. I'm gonna feel bad if the dad's like in a wheelchair or something. Like he's in an iron lung at home and he can't make it there. Or maybe he's like that 600-pound Mexican guy that can't leave his house and has a reality show.
No.
I think he's more than 600 pounds now that I think about it. Because he's fat for a Mexican. Fat enough to get a reality show. "How could he be so stupid?" I picked up my comic book and pointed to the mark on Dr. Destro's face. "Look," I cried. "Hannah has a birthmark like Dr. Destro's. It's a sign of evil." Mom smiled vaguely at me. "Don't be silly," she said, carrying the baby inside, and the rest of us followed her. By the way, the birthmark's a heart. That's not very evil. That's cute. Plus, it could just be the mark like the baby went tanning, you know? And got a little heart sticker and while she was tanning, you know?
Yeah.
He said she was red.
Right.
And I thought it was just because she was like, "Oh, whoa, whoa." But it could be that she was tanning.
Is that Indian?
Uh-huh. Either one. Soon, Grandma and Grandpa came over and Aunt Julie and Uncle Hal. They oohed and awed every time Hannah burped or hiccuped or sharted or cooed. It was disgusting. "Look at that. She blew a bubble. She's a genius. Dory, darling, let me hold her for a few minutes," Grandma begged Mom. But Mom said, "Let Nicholas hold her. He's her big brother, after all." "No," I said, backing away. "That's okay." "Oh, come on, Nick. You'll like it." Mom smiled and put Hannah in my arms. She showed me how to hold her. Hannah burped. Everyone laughed. As I held her, I thought, she's sort of cute, I guess. Maybe. I got a little carried away with that mark of evil stuff. After all, comic books don't come true, and Hannah's just a baby. I'm double checking again if it's recording. It is. If you only read Goosebumps and not comics, which, by the way, I've read many more comics than Goosebumps, you would think that all comics came true. Just judging off this universe where this takes place, you know? Yeah. But we'll suspend Goosebumps' disbelief and go on. But like I said, she was no ordinary baby. I swear I saw something glint in her dark blue eyes. That little heart-shaped birthmark on her cheek seemed to darken. Then, Hannah opened her mouth wide and threw up all over me. Whoa. Party foul. I know. I cried. I was covered with milky white glop. Oh no, baby bukkake.
Ew.
What? Mom quickly took the baby. Hannah started crying, just like Connie is now. "Why am I dating this man?" Connie thought. "Poor little Hannah," Mom said. "Poor little Hannah. I was the one she threw up on, and she did it on purpose. I knew she did." If you're still talking to me, what's this little pause right here?
Drink break.
It's a drinking break. What am I drinking?
Steel Reserve.
Steel fucking Reserve. It's the second one, but I don't have any more after this. So I'm going to finish this one while reading this, and then maybe switch to water like an adult.
Oh, dang.
I have to finish it pretty soon because it's getting to the last half inch or so. And half inch of warm Steel Reserve is just bile.
Ew, Zach.
Well, it smells like bile. That night, the howling began. A horrible sound woke me up, a loud screeching wail. I sat up in bed, shaking, like that Don't Wake Daddy game from the 90s. My eardrums rattled in my ears. What was that noise? I got out of bed to see what the fuck was going on. Mom was walking Hannah up and down the hallway, patting and shushing her, but Hannah didn't stop screaming. She sounded like some kind of wild animal in pain. Mom, what is wrong with her? I asked. Nothing, Mom replied. It's just a normal baby sound. Go back to sleep, you nosy asshole. I didn't get any sleep. Hannah never stopped crying. That's no normal baby sound, I thought. No one can tell me that terrifying screech is normal. Hannah's wailing continued night after night. Each night was worse than the last. Wild screams that even the neighbors could hear. Monstrous screams. When Hannah started crying, the neighborhood dogs threw their heads back and howled along with her. Franklin, let me see you howl. Fucking useless dog.
Yeah.
I don't want him to like be a dog that will protect me. I don't want him to play fetch. I don't even need him to want to go outside. I know he just wants to sleep and protect his food all day. I just want him to do sound effects.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
It would be like, and then they started walking up the creaky stairs, Franklin. Yes, and you do that dolphin sound you just made. I could swear I saw her birthmark grow, just a little. A few months passed. Hannah learned to crawl early. Mom and Dad thought that meant she was smart. I knew better. She had a mission. She wanted to be an only child. She wanted to get rid of me. The crying didn't get rid of me. The puking didn't get rid of me. But Hannah had other tricks up her tiny little terry cloth sleeve. One morning before school, I found Hannah in my room, chewing on something. She held a bit of paper in her hand. When she saw me coming, she tried to stuff it in her mouth, but I snatched that shit away from her, because I'm faster than a fucking baby, asshole. Oh no, I cried. My math homework. Oh, they must be Asian. Or what was left of it. Mostly, just my name and the date, covered in drool. Hannah had eaten my homework. She swallowed. Yeah, no, it's R.L. Stine. It's pretty predictable. She swallowed and smiled that evil smile. Ha ha. Her smile seemed to say, gotcha. Mom, I called like a little bitch. Hannah ate my homework. Mom swooped in and picked up Hannah. She what? Is she all right? Mom, what about my homework? Mom frowned at me as if she just realized what I was telling her. Nicholas, you didn't do your homework, did you? And now you're trying to blame it on Hannah? Mom, I'm telling the truth. Give Hannah an x-ray. You'll see my homework in her stomach. Mom shook her head. Nicholas, what's wrong with you lately? Do I look like an x-ray tech? Don't they have a specific name? I wanted to say radiologist, but that's not it. Whatever, Nicholas. Later that day, when my teacher asked me where my math homework was, I told her my baby sister had eaten it. She kept me after school. That's what I got for telling the truth.
You should never do that.
Tell the truth?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not believable. Baby ate it? I would say it was stolen by a black. That's believable. What's this?
Drink break.
Yep. Nicholas, get in here. I want to talk to you. Dad called. I was playing in the backyard when his voice boomed at me from an upstairs window. I found Dad in my parents' bedroom. At least, I thought it was their room. It was where their room was supposed to be, only it didn't look much like their room anymore. Normally, my parents' room was white. I mean white. White rugs, white walls, white curtains, white bedspread. I wasn't allowed to play in there, or eat, or do anything, because I have a problem with mustard stains. They were always worried about that white stuff. It's the addiction issues in that family.
Yeah.
All they talk about is the white stuff. Hannah Montana. Hannah Montana. That's why they named the kid that. I got Molly. I got White. I got Molly. I got White. I be trapping, trapping, trapping. Nichols, get out of my room. All damn night. Hannah Montana. Oh, the room wasn't white anymore. It was multicolored. Paint splashed everywhere. Nicholas, Dad said. Do you like... When I read these, I need to keep my identity safe, Boo. So I talk like a southern black man.
I accidentally said your name earlier.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me at all.
Sorry, Boo.
Nah, it's no problem. I think I've said like my first name, my last name, my social security number on here a couple times, my birth date, zip code.
Better not have.
Yeah, people are identity thieving me all the time. I'm kidding, no one listens. Nicholas, Dad said, you're in big trouble. Huge trouble. In giant China. Little jars of paint from my paint set littered the floor. Red, blue, green, yellow, and black. Paints were splashed all over the white rug. The white curtains, the white bedspread, the white walls, the white clan hood. And in the middle of all of it, splattered with blood red paint, Hannah sat laughing her evil laugh. That was it. I don't know, babies laugh. You have 1 minute to give me a explanation for this, Nicholas, Dad said. Go. I didn't do it. Do, 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 do. I said, Hannah did it. Dad laughed sarcastically. Hannah did it. Hannah took your paint set, brought it all the way to our room, opened the jars, and splattered paint all over everything. Yes. I said, Nicholas, go to your room. But Dad didn't do anything wrong. Oh, no? Go to your room and think about it until you can see what you did wrong, asshole. Dad, Hannah did it. She did it on purpose to get me in trouble. You're playing right into her hands. Her hands that can't grip anything yet. Dad gave me his stony glare. That means his eyes were red and swollen looking. He pointed to my room. I went. There's no fighting Dad's stony glare. She's a monster, I thought. She really is a monster. But she won't get away with this. I'll find a way to convince them somehow. I'm not leaving this family. She is. The next day, when I came home from school, I heard terrible screams from the kitchen. I ran in. Hannah sat in her tie... fucking big ass chair, screaming with laughter. Mother stood beside her. Mom, Hannah, the floor, the walls, all covered with green slime.
Oh shit.
They got Nickelodeoned.
Oh shit.
Green slime oozed out of the corner of Hannah's mouth. Hannah had spewed green slime everywhere. She's a monster, I shouted. This is proof. Mom ignored me. Franklin, if you're not going to make sound effects, at least don't disrupt things. She's a monster, I shouted. This is Ruth. Mom ignored me. Hannah, you naughty girl, she said. Strained peas all over the kitchen. Hannah banged her spoon on the high chair tray. More green stuff splattered on the wall. All right, it wasn't exactly green slime, but... it was close enough. Strained peas. They're green and they're slimy. Hey, Boo, I have to make that split pea soup from the ham bone from Thanksgiving. Remind me to do that.
Okay.
Hey, you know what I call split pea soup? Shit pea poop. You are in a committed relationship with me, and I call split pea soup shit pea poop.
Yes, you do.
I love you.
Mom
said, Nicholas, get a sponge and help me clean this up. Why do I have to clean it? She made the mess. Nicholas, I'm tired. Just help me out, please. I stared at Hannah's pea-covered face.
Ooh, R. Kelly.
Nice. Something was different. Her eyes were brown. Mom, I cried, Hannah's eyes changed colors. I told you she had evil powers. Mom just laughed. Most babies are born with blue eyes, she explained. Sometimes their eyes change after a few. Mom, that's impossible. People's eyes don't change colors. Yes, they do, Nicholas. What do you know? You're a fucking kid. Fuck off. God damn it, some babies. I grabbed her by the arm and tried to shake some sense into her. Mom, you're losing it. Anna's brainwashing you. She tried to get rid of me. We've got to send her back before it's too late. Nicholas, that's enough. You've been jealous of Hannah from the beginning. It's time for you to get over all of this shit and start acting a little more mature. Grow a pube, why don't you? I felt like tearing my hair out. See, because it was funny that line came after I said that because I didn't know it was coming. Why wouldn't my parents believe me? How could I get them to see what Hannah was doing? And how does one just go about growing a pube? Mom started cleaning the strained peas from Hannah's face. The birthmark seemed to glow like a tiny spark. The worst was still to come. Drinking break, but I'm out of steel reserve, so water. I was sitting in the den, watching TV, minding my own business. Then, I heard a creeping sound. Creep, creep, creep. The sound of little knees scraping against the rug. Oh no, I thought. Here she comes. I turned around to look. Hannah was crawling toward me, clutching a pair of scissors in her tiny fists, like the cover of the VHS for Child's Play. She crawled closer, closer. The evil gleam in her eyes, the birthmark pulsing on her face. She was going to stab me. No! This better not be a goddamn dream. I yelled. I backed away. She kept crawling toward me. The scissors gleamed. This is it, I thought. My baby sister is going to kill me. Nicholas! Mom stood in the doorway. Then she ran to Hannah and snatched the scissors away from her. Thanks, Mom. You saved my life. I cried. How could you do this? Mom said. How could you let Hannah carry around such a sharp object? She could have been seriously hurt, asshole. She could have been hurt? Mom, she was going to kill me. Nicholas, this is ridiculous. Mom, she's trying to get rid of me. She wants to be an only child. I think that's what you want, Nicholas, Mom said. I think we need to have a long talk. I'm not making this up, Mom. Why won't you believe me, Mom? You always trusted me before, Mom, until Hannah came along, Mom. Only one of those actually had a mom.
Wow.
I know, but if I said mom enough, it made him sound like a whiny little bitch.
He is a whiny little bitch.
That's true. The phone rang. Mom picked up. Hannah stormed off to the kitchen to answer. Oh, that's not... Hannah didn't answer the phone. She can't walk. Mom picked up Hannah and stormed off to the kitchen to answer it. A few minutes later, I heard Mom cry out, "Oh, no! No! I don't believe it!" I hurried to the kitchen to see what was wrong. Mom was crying. She said, "All right, Dr. Davis, we'll be there this afternoon." She hung up the phone and cried some more. She gripped the wall as if she thought she'd faint. Then she stopped crying and stared at Hannah with a new, weird look on her face, a look of horror. At last, I thought, she believes me. The doctor must have called to warn us that Hannah's a monster. That was the hospital.
They grabbed the wrong baby.
We'll find that shit out, won't we? There's only like 2 pages left. That was the hospital, Mom said in a slow, hoarse voice. They said that Hannah's a monster? I finished her sentence and shit. Mom turned sharply to me. Nicholas, stop it. She scooped Hannah up and hugged her tightly. I can't believe it, she said. I love her so much, but she's not really our baby.
Conan!
What? I was afraid I hadn't heard her right. It seemed too good to be true. Had Mom just said that Hannah's not really our baby? Our baby and Hannah were switched at birth, Mom said through her tears. Hannah is someone else's child. I bet that happens all the time in China. Hannah wasn't my sister at all. Her real parents were probably monsters too. It explained everything. Yippee! I shouted. I was free. Free from Hannah's evil. Everything would be okay now. We'd get my real baby sister and she'd be cute and normal like other babies. She wouldn't try to get rid of me. She wouldn't be a monster. Mom started crying harder than ever. She carried Hannah upstairs to her room and shut the door. I felt a little bit sorry. Mom was really upset, and I knew Dad would be too. But they'll be happier when they get our real baby, I thought. And so will I.
There's another drinking break.
Drinking break.
Brett, Lucas, I hope you guys are drinking each time I take a drinking break while you guys are driving on your road trip.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Don't tell them how to live their lives.
That is irresponsible.
Do it. Do it. Do it. It'll be cool. It'll be so cool. Also, do drugs and drive with your eyes closed.
Zachary.
It's Dune, girl. Dad came home from work early. We bundled Hannah up and took her to the hospital. A nurse introduced us to a woman who held a baby Hannah's age, Hannah's real mother. She had a tiny heart-shaped birthmark on her cheek, just like Hannah's, because apparently that's hereditary, what the fuck? Monster Mom, I thought, even though she didn't look like a monster at all. By the way, Monster Mom sounds like a fucking TLC show. The nurse gave my mother the new baby. It seemed weird to call the new baby Hannah, so Mom decided to name her Grace. When we got home, the first thing I did was check Gracie for birthmarks. She was clean, no birthmarks anywhere. She was a sweet baby, blonde, blue-eyed. That's how he justifies a baby being sweet. Mm-hmm. I knew this baby was good because Hitler would have liked her. Blonde, blue-eyed, smiling, and rosy-cheeked. She looked like an angel. She smiled and cooed at me. I watched Gracie carefully the first day, just to be sure. She didn't cry like an animal. She didn't spew peas or try to stab me. She did nothing but gurgle and coo. By the end of the day, I thought she was normal. She's not a monster. She's not out to get me. She's even cute. Everything is gonna be okay now. There's only like a couple lines left, so obviously shit's not gonna be okay now because everyone has to have a twist ending, but we'll find out what that is, won't we?
Yeah.
Mom put Gracie to bed. I sneaked into her room to play with her for a few minutes. I tickled her. She giggled. I tickled her again. This time, she didn't giggle so much, so I tickled her one more time. She opened her mouth and croaked, "If you tickle me again, kid, I'll rip your fucking arm off." Her eyes bulged as she uttered a deep growl. "Ah!" I wailed, "a monster!" I ran from the room, screaming my head off. As I was leaving, I heard the baby crackle, "I'll get rid of you, creep! Just wait till I can walk, motherfucker!"
Oh my god.
The end. Do you have any commentary on that one?
No.
Do you want me to maybe read one more tonight?
Sure.
Thank you, because then I get an episode up tomorrow.
I know, baby, that's why.
All right, well, I'm going to shut this one off.
Okay.
Namaste. Do you have a message for just the youth of America?
No, because it's completely opposite of what you would say to them.
Don't vote, bitches!
No, I agree with that.
Oh, yeah, really?
Fuck
okay.
Voting. Yeah.
Yeah, voting's the worst.
Voting's useless.
Fuck voting.
Yeah, fuck voting.
Statistically insignificant.
And fuck the people that wear the "I voted" stickers.
I know.
I fucking hate those people.
Great. You did the absolute minimum that you can do to try to claim to be a good person.
And I want all of you to tell me I'm a good person, too.
It's like when I walk Franklin and I'm like, and then he meets a dog and they're like, "Oh, it's a rescue."
Yeah.
Right off the bat, this is the first thing they say. Before dog's name, before anything, just, "Oh, he's a rescue."
I know.
Fuck them. I got my goddamn dog used too, and I don't brag about it. "Oh, you rescued him? Oh. He was on a bus that couldn't go below 55 miles per hour, and they dove off and did a barrel roll." It's, no. They got a dog for cheap. Anyway, we'll go to the next one. Bye, Conchetta.
Bye.
We're going to still be together. I'm just saying bye in the recording.
I know.
All right. I might leave all that in, by the way. And welcome back. Like that?
Perfect.
Thank you. This one is called Strangers in the Woods. Nothing good happens in the woods.
Rape.
That's not
Sasquatch.
What?
Sasquatch, yeah. Horrible things.
No, Sasquatch is a good thing. Sasquatch. Rape is not.
Rape is not good.
Nothing good happens in the woods, huh? Rape. What about rape? That's a good thing. Like, what? Of course it's a... Strangers.
Fuck.
And welcome... No. Strangers in the Woods by R.L. Stine. Read by Dune, age 28. This ruins everything, Lucy, wailed Jessica, when I called her to deliver the bad news. I can't believe you're getting shipped off to... What's the name of that town anywhere? Way? Fairview? I said, more like Unfairview. It doesn't say that, but how funny would that be? Not very. With a long, very sad sigh, I twisted the phone cord around my finger like Blossom. I could just cry. I'm not usually so depressed. That makes one of us. Actually, Jessica says I'm annoyingly happy most of the time. But finding out that I'd spend 6 weeks this summer with my great Aunt Abigail in her boring farm town was enough to put me in a bad mood forever. I mean, there's nothing in Fairview but tractors and cows and cornfields. I hope that something exciting had happened to Fairview since my last visit to Great Aunt Abigail's 2 summers before. But when Dad pulled his fucking car in that bitch, the place looked even duller and drabber than I remember. One grocery, a hardware store, a gas station, a tight-ass vape shop, and a library. We bumped our way down Great Aunt Abigail's long dirt road and pulled up in front of 25 Butterfly Lane, her small red brick house. I climbed out the car and looked around that bitch. Fields and forest as far as I could see. There's a, like, extra dot over the I in fields, so it looks like a hobbit wrote it. Look at that shit. Tell me a hobbit didn't write that.
Hmm.
That's some hobbit shit right there. Great Aunt Abigail came running out, dressed in her usual flowered house dress and sneakers. She looked a little different than I remembered. A little older, a little more wrinkled, a little skinnier. We all greeted one another, then Mom and Dad followed Great Aunt Abigail into the house to have some tea. I started to let my dog, Muttster, out of the car so he could explore the yard, but the big brown mutt pulled back, his tail between his legs. Where's our Muttster?
Right here.
He's so lazy. He's under the blankets with her. I don't have blankets because reading is makes you hot.
Also, I'm drinking a Popov and Jarritos Mandarin.
I let everyone know what I'm drinking. Uh-huh. So I feel like you can experience what someone's doing more if you know the flavor in their mouth. Does that make sense?
How would you explain the flavor that's going on in your mouth?
It's good. It's just vodka and orange soda, and everyone, especially Kel, likes orange soda.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I didn't put any club soda like I have been, because I was trying to do it quick, and I didn't want to open a new one, because I'm not going to have any more after that tonight, because we're going to watch Tremaine go Sleepy Night Night. This is exciting stuff. We all greeted one another. Mom and Dad followed Grandma and Abigail in the house to have some tea. I started a dog, Muttster, dog, between the legs. Muttster, what's your problem? I asked. He acted like a big scaredy cat, whimpering and huddling in the back seat. When I finally coaxed him out with a doggy pretzel, he started barking really loud and running around in circles. The thing you have to know about Muttster is that he never barks. He's really well-behaved. That's why he was being allowed to stay at Fairview with me while Mom and Dad went off to their big trip to Asia. You know, his parents are just staying home. Oh, it's a girl. Her parents are just staying home without her.
Yeah, parents love doing that.
Apparently. Like, remember when you were like 13 or 12 and your mom went to Thailand?
Yes.
You know she was just in a hotel down the street.
No.
She had teenage girls. Imagine what that's like.
She has pictures.
You don't think I could Photoshop pictures of me in Thailand?
Oh my god.
I should have known. Did you see me Photoshop my face on these Goosebumps books?
Yes.
It's not actually on there.
I know.
I wasn't painted in. I just added those later. I added you on one of them.
I know. I like that one.
Aww. I should have known that something was terribly wrong as soon as Mutster started barking, but I didn't guess. I just figured the big dog was excited. Then, when Great Aunt Abigail Gale came outside to see what the fuss was about, Mutster really went crazy, growling and snapping like a mean old junkyard hound. "Oh dear, Lucy," she said nervously. "Why is he doing that? Maybe you should put him in the yard." I didn't want to tie him up, but Mutster was just going ballistic. So I tied him to a huge oak tree and ran back to the porch to say goodbye to my parents. If you were a kid, would you know what kind of tree a tree was?
No.
I know, like, here's my trees.
Maybe a couple, but...
I know. Palm tree? Christmas tree? Tree. That's just any tree. Pinecone tree, which I assume is a pine tree. I know fucking trees. I know indicas and sativas. I can recognize a banana tree and a plantain, but that's about it. That's my entire knowledge of trees.
Wow.
Thank you. I wouldn't be like, oh, let's tie him to that oak. Honey, I'll miss you, Mom said. You won't be able to call because we'll be moving around so much. But we'll call when we can send, and we can send lots of postcards. After a lot of hugs and kisses, my parents were off on their trip. I waved sadly until their car disappeared down the long driveway. What a boring summer this is going to be, I thought glumly. I had no idea how wrong I was.
Uh-oh.
And now it's just an advertisement for Warp Tour.
Are you a 12-year-old girl that thinks you're going to have a boring summer? Come on down to Warp Tour. It's totally extreme if you're 12.
By the way, that was a drinking break. Great Aunt Abigail did her best to cheer me up. I have a surprise for you, dear, she said in a new voice. Your favorite cookies. Those sweet-ass animal cookies that taste like butter and frosting? Cookies? I'd almost forgotten that Great Aunt Abigail made the best peanut butter fudgies in the world. I took a cookie off the tray she offered, still warm and soft from the oven. I bit into eagerly. It was chewy and fudgy and peanut buttery, but something was wrong. Something didn't taste right. Think it was poo-poo? Let's find out if it's poo-poo. Was it too salty? Were the ingredients different? How weird, I thought. Great Aunt Abigail's cookies are always perfect. I could see her watching me eagerly. So, I finished the cookie and pretended to love it. Mmm! Then, I jammed a few cookies in my pocket and threw on my denim jacket. I'm taking Mutster for a walk, I called out, just to relax him. Oh, have fun, dear, she said. But stay out of the woods, okay? Remember the story had woods in the name.
Yeah.
I forgot what it's called already, but I remember woods because we had a discussion about it. Okay, weird, I thought. She never warned me away from the woods during my other visits. Mutster and I had a nice walk in the sloping green fills of Hobbiton. At times, the dogs seemed as calm and playful as always. Speaking of dogs, hi, Franklin. Oh, you're so handsome. But then, he would start barking excitedly again for no good reason at all. I couldn't get to sleep that night. Maybe it was because Mutster had to spend the night outside as punishment for constantly barking. At home, he always slept at the foot of my bed. I was going to say Franklin went to the foot of the bed, but he just kind of went right next to my butt. It's because he likes my farts. I tried reading a book, but that only made me feel more awake. Yeah, good try, R.L. Stine. No one likes reading. So, I gazed out the window and counted the stars. And that's when I saw the frightening lights. In the purple night sky, 6 lights forming a circle. At first, I thought they were super bright stars because they were so high up in the sky. But then, I realized they were moving. Lowering slowly to the ground. As I stared with my mouth hanging open in amazement, the lights hovered over the woods on the other side of Great Aunt Abigail's cornfield. I felt the light washing over me, brightening my whole room, bright as fucking daylight. We should start watching X-Files again. Then, slowly, the circle of lights lowered into the woods and it became dark again.
A cold shudder shook my body like the pea shivers. What had I just seen? I crept down the hall to Great Aunt Abigail's room and called softly outside of her closed door, but she has always been a sound sleeper. She didn't wake up. Back in my room, I could hear Mutzer down in the yard barking furiously. I shut the window tight. How would I ever get to sleep?
Drinking break.
Hey, Brett. Lucas. Connie says you're not allowed to drink.
Oh, my God.
Just a little bit. What if... Okay, what if...
While driving.
No, I'm saying, what if whoever's the passenger holds the steering wheel while the driver drinks? Can Brett and Lucas drink then?
They can do whatever the fuck they want. They grown-ass men. Shit.
Thank you very much. I'll let them know.
Yeah, until they fucking kill somebody. Then they grown-ass men in jail getting butt-fucked.
I'm going to suggest you hold off on the drinking until you guys get to a rest stop where you can pound beers.
Right up your butt. Nightly. Yep. Big one.
Maybe you should never drink again.
Huge.
Okay, I'm never drinking again. Wait 1 second.
Okay, now. All right.
Do you know what those lights are in the woods? I asked Great Aunt Abigail as I sat down to breakfast.
I hate to interject right after I just interjected and re-interject. But, remember the other day when I accidentally said axed instead of asked in real conversation, kind of?
Yes.
This is starting to become who I am.
I know.
She narrowed her eyes at me. I thought I saw her cheeks go pink. Lights? What lights, dear? How do you want your eggs? Scrambled, please.
That's a cop-out egg making. If someone else is making eggs for you... I go either sunny side up or over easy.
Mm. There were about 6 lights, all in a circle. They were so weird. Don't worry, dear. I'm sure it was just reflections or something. Have you fed Mutster? Why is she so eager to change the subject, I wondered. Why does she seem so nervous? Her scrambled eggs tasted different, too. Not as fluffy and fresh-tasting as in the past.
She's probably an alien pod person, just like the one goose stay out of the basement where the guy became a plant and he ate plant food. He had plant hands and did plant stuff because he was a plant.
After I ate, I took Mutster his breakfast, a bowl of dry dog food. Then I sat on the lawn talking to the dog and staring at the woods, hoping to see something, anything that might explain those lights. Thinking about those lights made me feel strange. You know how your stomach feels after you've eaten 5 slices of pizza? That was it. Only more nervous, fluttery, and diarrhea-y. My stomach felt even funnier after Great Aunt Abigail and I took a drive to the hardware store. Did I say drive? It was more like a roller coaster ride. To my shock, my usually careful Great Aunt drove like a maniac. An alien maniac. We almost clipped the mailbox on the way out of the driveway. Then she kept weaving from lane to lane, whizzing right through stop signs.
She probably had to pee, because she's peeing, because whizzing means peeing too.
I held on to the dashboard, too terrified to scream. I got my voice back when we finally pulled over on Main Street. Aunt Abigail, I cried breathlessly. Is there something wrong with the car? Why are you driving like this? Like what, idiot? She replied innocently, also calling me an idiot. The only thing more frightening than the drive to town was the drive back to the house. By the time we returned, we'd gone through 2 red lights, terrorized a farmer on his tractor, and missed a parked car by an inch. Great Aunt Abigail didn't seem to notice that anything was wrong. My heart still in my mouth, I leaped out of the car and staggered over to Mutster. He wagged his bushy round tail and licked my face, as if I'd been gone for 10 years. But he stopped in mid-lick when Great Aunt Abigail climbed out of that car. Grrr. He growled ferociously, straining at his leash. What is going on? On here, I asked myself. Why does everything seem so different, so wrong, so alien? I added the alien for effect, but you know what's right there?
Drink break.
I saw the eerie lights again that night.
And the next night, too. Bigger and brighter than ever, hovering in a circle over the woods. As I pressed my face against the window to watch them, I suddenly had a frightening thought. They look just like the lights of those alien spaceships in my favorite movie, Attack of the Pod People. Note to self, if we do a live podcast show somewhere, we should call it Attack of the Pod People. I tried desperately to come up with another explanation for the lights. Street lights? Not in Fairview. A plane? A plane couldn't hover like that, and I'd never seen a plane with lights that bright. I felt a chill down my back as I realized there was no other explanation. Aliens had invaded Fairview, and they were landing in the woods near my great aunt's house. Wrapping my arms around myself to stop the chills, I found myself thinking about Great Aunt Abigail. She seems so different. So changed. Had the aliens taken over Great Aunt Abigail's mind? Just like in the Pod People movie. I could hear Mutster start to bark down the yard. Dogs have a sixth sense. I knew. Mutster sensed that Great Aunt Abigail was possessed by an alien. That's why he had been barking and growling at her. Suddenly, gripped with fear, I turned away from the window. Was I next? Would the aliens come after me next? I had to get out that bitch. Run away! But where? Mom and Dad were thousands of miles away. Should I call my best friend Jessica back home? She'd think I was joking. Besides, how could she help? She's a girl. I needed someone closer. The police. Try not to make a sound. I crept down the stairs to the phone in the kitchen. Great Aunt Abigail, or whoever she was, had gotten there first. She had her back to me. She couldn't see me, but I could see her. Don't worry. My niece doesn't know. Yes. Yes. I told her to stay away from the woods, and she won't know anything until it's all over tomorrow night. You know what I think's happening?
What?
I think her aunt is fucking six helicopter pilots. And every night they fly in. She claims she's a sound sleeper. That's because she's in the room just banging six dudes and her.
Ew.
That's why she's driving the car. She's reckless now.
Slut.
Great Aunt Abigail, slut.
Nasty.
Yeah. They call her the Fairview fucking slut. Damn it, I thought I would come up with something by the time I had to say it, but I didn't. My palms started sweating, like Eminem in 8 Mile. I got that itchy feeling under my arms I always get when I'm nervous all over. Until what was all over? The alien invasion? Until Mutster and I had been taken off to some weird planet where they'd put us in cages? I had to get back to my room, and fast. I turned back to the stairs, but the floorboards creaked loudly beneath me. Franklin, do the sound effect. Asshole. Great Aunt Abigail whirled around to face me. I gasped. My mouth dropped open in horror. My great aunt's face was glowing green. It's probably just an avocado face mask, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a waste of avocados. She could make guac. Lucy, what are you doing? Up! Great Aunt Abigail demanded. She took a few steps toward me. I realized I was terrified of her. Just going back to bed, I stammered, backing away. I hurried up the stairs. My entire body trembled. I closed the bedroom door tightly and waited to hear Great Aunt Abigail pad up the stairs and go into her room. I knew I couldn't spend another minute in the house. I couldn't stay there with an alien from outer space. Frantically, I pulled on jeans and a sweatshirt. I had to get to the police. I had to tell them about the aliens, but would they believe me? They will if I go to the woods and see the aliens first, I decided. I know, I wasn't thinking clearly, but I was having a major panic attack, and it seemed like the best idea at the time. I sneaked down silently the stairs, and I mixed some words up there and out the back door. I should have woken up Mutster and brought him with me into the woods, but I was so out of my fucking mind with fear I didn't even think of that shit. I ran across the backyard, headed to the woods, nothing but darkness ahead, no lights, hovering in the sky. What was waiting for me in the darkness? Were there really aliens there? I needed to get a glimpse of them, just a glimpse, so I could describe them to the town police. The woods were dark, steamy, and wet. So erotic! It was like plunging through a thick jungle. There was no path, so I had to push my way through, stumbling over fallen logs and marshy ground, just like where Haley was buried. That was a reference to the podcast Serial. As I made my way, I kept hearing rustling noises on both sides of me. Was I being followed? Was I being watched? As I stopped to catch my breath, like Dune needs to do, a light appeared up ahead. Swallowing hard, I moved toward it. The trees thinned out, and I found myself in a large clearing. What were those sounds? Voices? Human voices? Or alien voices? I gasped as the bright lights washed over me. The white beam blinded me, captured me in a harsh spotlight. I shielded my eyes as the light hovered over me, closing in, covering me, holding me helpless. Bring her here, I heard a deep voice order. You scared? Because there's a drinking break. It is bizarre to me. You know what makes me think it's not aliens at all? The fact that the aunt was talking on the fucking phone. Seems like aliens would be a little more advanced than that. Mm-hmm. Maybe they had, like, iPhone 6s already, and this was, like, in the 90s, you know? So they're, like, kind of advanced.
Probably.
I felt hands tugging me. I tried to pull away, but my captor was too strong. You can't take over my brain, I shrieked. I won't let you. That sounds like an 80s anti-drug ad. Cut the lights, another voice ordered. The harsh lights dimmed to black. I could see smaller lights all around. As my eyes adjusted to the darkness, I saw a man walking toward me. He wore a baseball cap and a long-sleeve polo shirt over jeans.
Oh, douche.
That's the official outfit of aliens. Young lady, I don't know what you're screaming about, he said, but you can't just wander onto a film set.
Oh, dang.
You just ruined a shot that took 3 hours to set up. Film set? I opened my mouth to reply, but no sound came out. We asked the people in town to stay out of the woods, the man said sternly. We're finishing our movie tomorrow. Then we'll be out of here. Movie? I took a deep breath, trying to get myself together. Suddenly, I heard dogs barking. The dogs are ready, a young woman carrying a clipboard announced. She raised a dog whistle to her lips. She blew into it. It made no sound that I could hear, but the dogs immediately barked louder.
Well, that explains much, doesn't it? Let's read on.
That explains what... I guess I didn't have to make that douchey voice, because...
R.L. Stein explained it for us.
That explains why Muster has been barking all the time. I told myself he keeps hearing the dog whistle in the woods. Everything made sense now. Great Aunt Abigail warned me to stay out of the woods. The bright lights, my great aunt saying on the phone that it would be all over tomorrow night. I'm sorry, I told the man. Really, I'm so sorry. I felt like a total jerk, just like Dune does. I ran all the way home. Great Aunt Abigail was waiting for me in the back door, her face tight with worry. Lucy, where'd you go? Where have you been? I was about to call the police. I bet the aunt's still an alien. I told her how sorry I was, and then the words burst out of me. I saw the lights, and Munster had been acting so strange, and your skin was green, and you drove so wildly, and the cookies were wrong, and... Great Abigail wrapped me in a hug and held me until I stopped trembling. Then I finally backed away. She chuckled. I guess my green mint julep face mask would give anyone the creeps, she declared. I laughed too. Who is Great Aunt Abigail trying to impress? She's a great aunt, and she lives alone in the woods. Does she need her skin to look in tip-top shape?
I don't know.
If she didn't find a man by now, you think that she, probably not going to? Or a lady. I'm not trying to judge.
I don't know.
All right. I should have told you about the movie, folks, Great Aunt Abigail said, shaking her head. But I figured they'd be gone by tomorrow. I started to say something, but... She raised a hand to stop me. I have more to explain, she said, frowning. I have a confession to make, Lucy. I lost my glasses just before you arrived, and have been trying to get along without them. That's why your driving was so wild, I cried. She nodded. And that's why my cooking may have been a little off. It's just so hard to see the ingredients. What a shitty great aunt that she's driving and can't see shit. We hugged each other again and shared a good laugh. I can't believe you thought I was an alien from outer space, Great Aunt Abigail said. You've seen too many movies. She was right. I felt like such a fool. We had some hot chocolate. It didn't taste quite right, but I didn't complain. Then I made my way upstairs to go to sleep. The night had grown cool, and I love sleeping with the windows open. So I went to the linen closet to get an extra blanket. As I pulled open the door, Great Aunt Abigail's glasses tumbled out. Terrific, I thought. Now she won't have to buy new ones. I picked them up and carried them down the hall to her room. Aunt Abigail, I called. The door was open a crack. I pushed it open and stepped inside. She stood with her back to me. Aunt Abigail, look, I found your... My words choked in my throat as she turned to face me, and I saw the four slimy tentacles waving at her sides. Her skin glowed bright green in the light from the dresser top, and her three fat black lips made sucking sounds as she unrolled a long blue tongue. You found my glasses, she croaked, reaching out all four tentacles toward me. Thanks, Lucy. Ugh. That one sucked.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Fuck. Alright, I'm gonna get a little dog ear on the page. Do you know where we at? This is a giant goddamn book.
Yay!
This is gonna be the rest of your life, Bill. Any thoughts on that? That was a really bad one.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
By the way, this is the first book of Tales to Give You Goosebumps, which, if I know anything about the Goosebumps series, is that he just phones it in more and more as it goes along.
Yeah.
These are going to get a lot worse.
Stoked.
Anything to say to anyone?
No.
Do you remember my sign-off now? Do you want to go up to the mic and say it?
No.
You don't know what it is, do you?
Yes, I do.
You say it. You say it with passion.
It's putting me on the spot, you know?
Okay, I'm saying go up to the mic and say it with passion.
No.
Do it.
You do it.
Do it.
You do it.
Fine, I'm going to do it because I honestly, the second time I just said do it right there, I felt really shitty about myself. Like I was being aggressive and I didn't like that. So I'm just going to do it. You guys, if your only options are to, stay spooky or become aggressive with your lover, please, please stay spooky, bitches. I love you.
I love you, too.
You want to say it now? It's facing you. Do it.
Stay spooky, bitches.